All right, go back with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let's read verse 27 again. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The gospel is not just a bunch of religious sounding words. You know that? We're going to go to church on Sunday to hear the gospel. It's not just a bunch of religious sounding words. The gospel is something very specific. Very specific. The gospel can be summed up in two words. Two words. Substitution and satisfaction. That's the gospel. That is the best news that a sinner has ever heard in his life. You know, if a person knows he's a sinner, you know why we all come to this church? This is a house for sinners. This house is full of sinners. And the gospel is the best news that a sinner has ever heard in his life. It's to this flesh too good to be true. That is just too good to be true. Oh, well, it's true. God said it. We're not making it up, are we? The reason that this is the best news in the world to me is because God has revealed to me through this book, through this word, that I am on death row in God's eyes. If He leaves me to myself, okay, if I'm a sinner in this world, and if God leaves me to myself, then I'm just a sinner waiting to die. That's all I am. I want to prove that to you, okay? Turn with me over to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, look at verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, what are we in this house? This is a house full of what? Sinners. And He said He's going to destroy the sinners out of this world. He's going to lay it desolate. Verse 10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of His fierce anger. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That doesn't need any explaining. Somebody will say, yeah, but that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. You know, our church doesn't even use the Old Testament. We just use the New Testament. All right. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians 1, look at verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, he's coming back. One day he's coming with his mighty angels. Verse 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, do you believe God is really going to do that? Do you believe he is really going to do that? Surely God is not going to do that. Surely he's changed his mind by this point. Well, can God lie? Cannot, can he? Ask Noah. Ask Noah. God said, I'm going to destroy this earth with water. He said, Noah, build an ark. And for 100 years, Noah told the world, you better get inside this ark. Destruction is coming. You must be in this ark. That ark represents Jesus Christ. And the world laughed and the world mocked and God shut the door. Shut the door to the ark. And he rained down his wrath on this world. And he killed the entire world but 8 souls. Everybody acknowledges the flood. Well, not everybody. Noah's Ark. I know we acknowledge it to some point because it's such a children's thing. You know, we're going to put a playhouse out in our backyard and it looks like Noah's Ark. God saved 8 souls. 8. It would be like that row plus you guys. 8. Only the souls that God put inside the ark were saved. Every soul that was outside the ark was damned. That is salvation. That's salvation. Either we're going to be in Christ or we're going to be out of Christ. That's the only thing that makes a difference. Who maketh me to differ? Christ. What made the 8 souls inside the ark different from the 8 souls outside of the ark? Well, they were better people. No, they weren't. The ark is the only thing that saved them. Go with me over to 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. He's saying they're willingly ignorant of the fact that this world used to be just like it is right now. It was in the water and out of the water. But all of a sudden, the word that was holding it all back, let it go. And the whole world, being overflowed with water, perished. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, and that's Christ, the word, they're kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. If God leaves us to ourselves, we are dead men and women walking. You know what you call that? The truth. We're going to meet together to hear the truth. The truth is not being told. It's nothing but lies. It is nothing but lies. We know it's lies because it is not consistent with the truth. The truth is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing. But let me show you the gospel. I mean, we've seen the gospel, but let's see it again. The gospel can be summed up in two words. Two words. All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, every soul will die because it has been appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, not all, but many. I mean, many, as the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashore. A number no man can number. Many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I was on death row. That's where I was. In my cell. In my bondage. Waiting for God's wrath to punish my sin. But Christ came, and he opened my cell door, and he took my place. And it wasn't enough that I go and he stay. He had to take all of my sin off of me. And he had to lay that all over himself. And he had to sit there in that cell with my sin all over him. And when the judge looked at him, the judge had to see my sin all over him. He had to see that sin. That's substitution. It's substitution. And then God poured out his wrath on Christ because of my sin. My sin was all over him. So God killed me in Christ. Do you know why God killed Christ? The answer is me. God killed me. My sin, he saw Gabe Stonecker's sin. And after God finished punishing my sin in his own son, as soon as every last sin was punished, God was satisfied. He was satisfied. And he said to me, "You're free to go. You are free to go." There's a song that we sing, and it says, "Lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through all the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings. Our Comforter has come." Satisfied. God is satisfied. That is what the first verse in that text is saying. In John 12. Go back over to John 12 with me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in verse 27. He says, "Now is my soul troubled." Why? Is he not God? Yes, he is. But here's the glory of the gospel. God became a man. Do you know God couldn't take my place? I could never trade places with God. So God became a man. And a man took my place. And as a man bearing my sin, sin he had never known, sin he had never committed, knowing why he came, knowing I am about to endure the wrath of God, knowing he was about to die, knowing he was going to be separated from God, he said, "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say?" Verse 27. "Father, save me from this hour." He was saying that for me. He was saying that as me. He was my substitute. He was my substitute. And he answered that cry by saying, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? Was it so he could do some humanitarian work? That's what people think. Is it not? He came down here so he could do some good humanitarian work. Did he come so that he could do some motivational speaking? That's what people think. It seems silly, but that's what people think. He came to preach and to, you know. Did he come to show us the example of how we can save ourselves? Now you watch me and you follow me and you'll be okay. He said it was for this cause. For this cause. Christ Jesus came into this world for one reason only. It was to go to that cross and die. From the day he was born, his whole focus was on the cross of Calvary. Everything he did led him to the cross of Calvary. His greatest glory was the death he accomplished. That was his greatest glory. He accomplished it for his people. Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." And he said, "Okay, I'm going to have mercy on some sinners. That's my glory." Verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." How glorious is that? Father, I'm ready. Glorify thy name. Glorify the name which is above every name. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." This is the third time that God the Father spoke out loud. He spoke out loud three times. He spoke at the beginning of His ministry, the very beginning of His ministry. He spoke in the middle of His ministry, and this is the end. All three times declare the good news of substitution and satisfaction. All three times. Let me show you that. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, when we confess the Lord in believer's baptism, we are confessing our union to Him. That's what we're confessing. We died with Him. You know, it's appointed unto men once to die. And we died with Him. And we were buried with Him. And we rose with Him. When our Lord was baptized by John, He was confessing His union to us. He died for us, as us. He was buried for us, as us. And He rose for us. And when He came up out of that water, God the Father spoke out loud from heaven and He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, why was He well pleased? Here's why. And this is something that the flesh can't get a hold of. But it's going to be glorious to see. Glorious to experience. The reason His Father was well pleased is because for 30 years, He started this ministry at 30 years old. And for 30 years, Jesus Christ walked this earth. Every thought for 30 years that He had was perfect. Every single thought that He thought, every single word that He said, every emotion that He felt earned heaven. The emotions in His heart earned heaven. They were worthy of heaven. To walk straight into the gates of heaven. Even though He never stopped being God, He is called the Christ because He was always 100% God. But He also was 100% man. Now, I will sit down and any of you guys can come up here and explain that to me. I cannot explain that. But do you know why I believe it? God said it. And I don't have to understand my God. I have to believe Him. So He walked this earth 100% as a man. I mean a man. A man. And God the Father watched that man for 30 years and God the Father said, "He's perfect. He's perfect." Do you see this man? He's My beloved Son, and I'm well pleased. He's holy, and He's sinless, and He's righteous. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. God was satisfied in Him. Now listen to this. Here's the glory of substitution. When Christ took all of the sin off of His people and laid it on Himself. At that moment, He took all of His perfection off of Him and laid it on His people. It was true substitution. Hebrews says He became us. Therefore, you know what we became? That man. That man. It was absolute substitution. Every thought He thought, those are my thoughts. Not really. Oh, yes, really. Every word He said, those are my words. Every word I have said, those were His words. Every emotion I felt became His emotions. Not indeed. I did the deed. Every emotion He felt has become my emotion. Not indeed. He did the deed. Right? True substitution. And now, not only does God say, not guilty, now He also says, well done. Well done. Oh, I'm a sinner. No. You're holy. And you're pure. And you're righteous. Is that not the greatest news you've ever heard in your life? Is it true? Is it true? God said it is. Here's the second time God the Father spoke out loud. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. And His raiment became shining. Now watch this. Watch the wording of this. I saw this for the first time. I've always read Matthew's account of this. And for some reason, the Lord led me to Mark. This is wonderful. All right, verse 3. And His raiment became shining, it exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. You've never seen white like this before. They're not just wearing white robes. This is so white, no fuller on earth could get anything this white. Verse 4, and there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, that sounds pretty arrogant of him to speak up when God Himself is talking with Elijah and Moses, who have come back from the third heaven. And Peter's going to speak up. But watch this. Here's why he said that. Bless his heart. Verse 6. For he knew not what to say, for they were so afraid. They were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is My beloved Son, hear Him. God the Father spoke out loud in order to tell every soul on this earth there is one substitute for sinners. Peter saw Christ and Moses. Now who's Moses? The lawgiver. Moses wrote 10 commandments. Right? No, that ain't the way. Hear Him. Hear Him. There is one substitute for sinners. There is only one who is able to satisfy a holy God. God the Father said, Moses cannot satisfy Me. And Elijah the prophet cannot satisfy Me. You hear Him. Father, glorify Thy name. I have glorified it. Hear Him. hear him. They were so afraid. Peter was standing there so afraid. John 12 says, the people who stood by heard God's voice and they said it thundered. Have you ever been too close to lightning? When the thunder cracks as soon as the lightning hits. Boom! Something in you for a fraction of a second is screaming, hide me. This is too big for me. Something for a fraction of a second says, I'm low and this is great. I'm nothing. This is all powerful. Absolute fear. I don't care how big you are, how old you are. Absolute fear. This world has no idea how almighty this God really is. They don't understand. They're not afraid of God. They don't understand. When they go to stand before Him at the judgment, they're not even going to want to hear His voice. Oh, somebody hide me. Turn over to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, look at verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks cedar trees, the biggest ones on this earth. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Judas brought some men to take the Lord, to betray him so he would be crucified. And they came with swords and sticks, a crowd of men. And when they walked up, the Lord said, whom seek ye? And they said, we seek Jesus. And he said, I am. And it says every one of them fell back like a tree. Straight over. Boom. The whole crowd. Boom. And he said, now whom seek ye? I'm telling you, the voice of the Lord breaks cedar trees. Look at verse 6. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. They get out of here. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. That means an earthquake moves when God speaks. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth every one speak of His glory. I'm telling you, one of these days when we finally see God's glory, not one soul there will think, I have some glory that might match up to that. Verse 10 says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Is that not wonderful news? The Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you know why? It's because it makes sinners run to Christ. That's why they will not run to Christ crying, hide me, until they see God as He really is. Hide me, safe in the rock, it says. Noah said, get in this ark. Run to the ark. Run to Christ. The shelter in the time of storm. You know what this Word of God says He is for sinners? It says He is thy shield and defender. Run to Jesus Christ. Hear Him. Go to John 5 with me. Almost finished. John 5. John chapter 5, look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's mercy. That God would open up a sinner's ears to, through His Word, hear the voice of God, that fearful voice. But that voice, the Word Himself, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces the heart, and it says, live. Live. Is that not wonderful? Go back over to John 12. Verse 27 says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Everything God has done has been for the sake of His people. We have this glorious book. It was written for our sake. That's why. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. All men and women are going to be judged, in Christ or out of Christ. And here's the good news of the gospel. Every sinner that God the Father put in Christ was judged by God right then. 2,000 years ago, He said, right now is the judgment of my people. We were judged in Christ. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's our adversary. Cast out. When Christ died on that cross, He secured eternal peace for His people. Total eternal peace. Verse 32, He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that's on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. Do you see that the word men is in italics? If you have a Bible that has italics, those are words that have been added by the translator to make it easier to understand. And they're good words. But if you read that without the italicized word, it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. Who's he talking about? All the ones that God the Father chose to put in Him. Verse 33, this He said, signifying what death He should die. Why did Christ die? He died to be the substitute for His people. And He died to be the satisfier of God's holy law. And He said in chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. It's finished. It's all done. Mission accomplished. Salvation secure. That's the gospel. All right, let's stand together.